Welcome to Trust the Bible. I'm Pastor David Gennaro, and I'm going through my book, Prosperous and Successful. I'm focusing specifically this week on, given the promise of the Bible to lead us to a prosperous life, and given the high commitment level, the Bible calls on us to follow it in every area of life, to let it influence our speech, our thinking, our behavior, what is valuable and most important to us in life. So given the great promise it makes, given the great call that it makes on our life, we need to know whether it's true or not. And that's the purpose of this program, is to grow your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. And so one of the things we need to know in evaluating the Bible is, do we know there really is a God, and not just a God, but a God who cares about us, who had a purpose behind making us, and who wants to know us and us to know him? And I believe Jesus is the key. We've looked at some other arguments about how we know there is even a God to begin with. And then we need to look for a match. Given the different arguments we've looked at, that it only makes sense to think that there is a God in this, that there is a God who created this world and who wants us to know him. Can we look out in the world and find a match? Can we find evidence that God has actually come into history to interact with us? And I think the answer to that question is astoundingly yes. In other words, not only should we expect there to be a God, but we also find the matching evidence that God has been at work in history, in the world. So let me wrap up this discussion about God with a few closing comments. One, I talked about pain and suffering and evil yesterday. I don't think that's evidence against God. It would only be evidence against God if there was no possible reason for God to allow pain and suffering and still be good and still be powerful. And there are possible reasons. We may not always know what they are. We may not always know or have solid evidence that this is the particular reason for this particular evil and pain. But God knows the end from the beginning. He's infinitely wiser than us. We can trust that he knows what he's doing. After all, he sent Jesus Christ to suffer and die for us. He loves us that much. So sometimes, even if we don't have full understanding of why God allows something, we know that there could be an answer, and we know that we, in our limited knowledge, shouldn't expect to know what the answer always is. And so the Bible shows us this again and again through stories like Joseph. Joseph is rejected by his brothers, nearly killed, sold into slavery by his brothers, treated unjustly when he gets to Egypt. And yet he's able to say 20 years later to his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, for the saving of many lives." You see, God allows pain and suffering along this pathway to ultimately bringing us to redemption and bringing us to a world where we will be free from pain and suffering. And in order to get there, there is a certain amount of evil and pain that God has to allow for the ultimate good. And we need to trust him on that. And he is trustworthy on this. Let me read you one quote from my book. This is something I talked about last week, that even the idea that we debate God's existence, it doesn't make any sense in a world where everything is just here randomly for no purpose, with no design. No, there is a God who made us and gave us our minds and gave us our reason and calls us to him. And we either receive that or reject it. And that's why we have debate even about if there is a God out there who cares about us. And so I put it this way in the book: the very concept of a rational debate about God's existence strongly suggests God's existence. C.S. Lewis, an atheist professor turned Christian, explained, quote, "In the very act of trying to prove that God did not exist, in other words, that the whole world of reality was senseless, I found I was forced to assume that one part of reality, namely my idea of justice, was full of sense. Consequently, atheism turns out to be too simple. If the whole universe has no meaning, we should never have found out that it has no meaning." That's a wonderful quote. That's what led C.S. Lewis to turn from atheism to not only believing in God, but being a Christian. atheism just can't account for the kind of world that we live in. And so there is a God, I believe. He cares about us. He wants to communicate with us. I mean, why else would he have a purpose for creating us? And why would he be at work in history? So do we have a match in history? Can we find that there is evidence that God has been at work? And I believe that the answer is one in Jesus. Also, we could talk about the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel leads to the birth of Jesus. You know, there is no other people on earth who have a history like Israel's. And even to this day, we see the extreme persecution of Jews in the 20th century. We see hatred and persecution of Jews today. And yet we see them persisting after all these thousands of years in the very land God promised he would always give them, for them and their descendants forever and ever. And we see the world political system revolve around this tiny little nation and tiny group of people. I've done, I think, a whole week before on this show just about the miracle of Israel. There is where God has been at work in the world, bringing his message, bringing his word through the prophets. This is ultimately where the scriptures come from. Possibly all, if not all, all but one or two writers of the Bible were Jewish, came through this nation. And so you can see, you know, how do you explain the nation of Israel apart from there being a truly divine being at work in overseeing the history of the world? And that culminates in Jesus Christ. And he is the one who told us, I am God, I'm going to die and rise from the dead. The Bible, the scriptures, are the ultimate resource for life. They're true. They're the authoritative word of God. And so we have a reliable source that backs up that not only is the Bible interesting and historically accurate and has good information in it, but it is the very word of God. That is the claim that is backed up by the testimony of Jesus. Now, let's move on to some other questions. All right, so the next question I'm going to talk about is there only one true religion? And that's the next section I deal with in my book. And that's a natural next question, because you might say, well, we do have evidence that God has communicated to people through Jesus Christ and through the Bible. But maybe there are other people God has given truth to, and other scriptures that God has spoken through. Maybe, you know, I might follow the Bible, but someone else might follow the Hindu Vedas or the Bhagavad Gita, or someone else, you know, might follow the Quran. And so what about that? How do we know that the Bible is not only a book that reveals God to us, but the book, the best book, the one that we should follow above all others? And I'm going to dive into that question more next time. Let me introduce it to you first. No matter what we want to be true, that doesn't make it true. And there is a desire, because most of us in this day and age know people who follow different religions. And we feel strange thinking, well, the Bible is right and all others are wrong. That seems judgmental, or it just makes us uncomfortable. That's not something culturally, you know, we want to all live together and respect one another. And so we get uncomfortable talking about there being one source of truth. Nevertheless, that's the only possible answer. That is the only possible truth. Now, we can respect one another. We can love people with different beliefs. But listen, according to Christianity, because I have put my faith in Jesus Christ, even though I have sinned, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. But according to the Quran, because I have disrespected Muhammad and haven't recognized him as a prophet, and I have believed that Jesus is God, which is blasphemy according to Islam, then I'm going to go to hell when I die. And guess what? I can't go to both heaven and hell when I die. I'm either going to go to heaven or hell or somewhere else, but I don't split into multiple people. So only one of those options can be true. And I'll pick up there tomorrow. Until then, remember, you can trust the Bible.